Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues. As we face the issues each and every day on this broadcast, we always invite you, our listener, to join in the dialogue, the discussion. Some use the term, I want to get in my 2 cents worth. Well, the mics are open today, and we're inviting you to join in and give us your 2 cents worth on a very serious yet very controversial subject that we'll be discussing today. We'll talk about today the role of women in ministry, or as Dr. Carwell Ryrie wrote in his book entitled The Role of Women in the Church. We'll talk about that today, and specifically we're going to ask the question, should women be ordained as pastors? Should women be ordained as pastors? I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of our professors in the college and university. We're delighted that he can be with us. We'll be joining in the dialogue and discussion, inviting your discussion or your questions about the issue we're speaking of today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. It's the Word of God that has the final say-so. It's not culture, or not to be based on denominational dogma, decisions about spiritual things, and ought not to be made based on what is in the popular woke culture in the community today, but based on the authority of the Scripture and the Scripture alone. As we face the issues, we do so based on that. We are to look at the Scripture through the prism of the Word of God. We're to look at what's happening in the world based on what God's Word says. And what does God's Word say about these issues? Let me remind you, I call the Bible the truth book. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to political issues, social issues, economic issues, military issues, civil government, when it comes to theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, it is the truth of the Word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever," but yet truth is denied, rejected, refused, not viewed as being authoritative today. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Now, in the broader term, that includes theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. Now, I'm sure that Orwell was not thinking along those lines, as the dystopian novel was written, entitled 1984, published back in the late 40s. But nevertheless, he was on target when he said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that in society today, among the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% of the millennials today say this. They think that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Therein lies the problem. You can't have but one truth. There's no such thing as a vacillating truth. It is the truth that we need to depend upon. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. John Huss said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, each and every day on this broadcast, we defend the truth. We stand for the truth. And I pray that it's a benefit and a blessing to you. I pray that as we go into the depths as much as possible in the broadcast time today, I pray that it will be a blessing, insightful, and a challenge to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner, like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the landscape equipment for the homeowner brands. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, it's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, there's a gigantic benchmark to find the home of Tools for Time. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship with the family of God and the house of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, you can reach Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Let me remind you, before I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We'd love to have your input, your questions, your comments. We're talking about the role of women in ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is clear in its warning. Let me just read you a verse or two from the Scripture. The Scripture warns us that the time will come when they will not endure. That means to put up with or to tolerate sound doctrine. The word doctrine simply means teachings. But after their own lust shall they heap, that is to accumulate to themselves, teachers having itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:3. And then in the fourth verse of that 2 Timothy chapter 4, ladies and gentlemen, it says, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The word fables is the little word mythos, that is, turn their ears to fables, not the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, our modern culture has a very, very serious impact on the life of the church today. It's sad but true that many churches today, pastors preaching, teaching, and the organizational structure of the church is bowing to the culture, allowing the culture to come in and impact the church rather than the church impacting the culture in which we're living in. I say today, ladies and gentlemen, we must stand for the truth of God's Word, regardless of what cultural pressure may say. Hear me. I'm saying that as a church, as believers, as Christians, as pastors, I believe it's time that we stand for truth, regardless of what the culture says. God never intended for the church to look like, act like, talk like, be like the world in any fashion. But more and more we're finding that taking place today. As churches are being diminished in numbers because of the great falling away, the apostasy that's taking place today, multitudes of churches, cross-denominational lines, have the philosophy and the feeling that we must do something that the culture is demanding in order to fill the pews. I call it the numbers, nickels, and noses philosophy and mindset. The numbers, nickels, and noses. Many churches today have embraced, for example, the LGBTQ agenda. Some churches even have have their marquee that says, we embrace or we welcome the LGBTQ people. Many of the churches today are utilizing in their printed material the rainbow flag indicating an embracing of the LGBTQ agenda. Many of our churches today, ladies and gentlemen, across denominational lines, are ordaining female pastors and deacons. And then they say, well, that's what the Bible says. We're going to look at it today and ask the question, is that what the Scripture really says? Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the most hotly debated issue the most hotly debated issue today in our churches is the role of women in ministry. Now, listen very carefully. Let me do a little caveat before we go any further. This broadcast is not intended to in any way degrade, demean, or diss women in ministry in our churches. Let me just say it very clearly. Based on the authority of the Scripture, Christian women can be involved in ministry of the local New Testament church, teaching the children, teaching women. In fact, in Titus, we'll talk about that, women have the responsibility charged of God to teach the younger women. A Christian woman can be on the mission field as a missionary. A Christian woman can teach. A Christian woman can be an educational minister. A Christian woman in the church can lead the singing if that's what the church wants to do. But a Christian lady cannot be ordained as a deacon or as a pastor based on the authority of the local New Testament church, based on the authority of the Word of God. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, again, that telephone is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Recently, Saddleback Community Church in California, we'll get into a little deeper study or thoughts about this, Saddleback Community Church in California, Rick Warren is the pastor. That church was expelled from the Southern Baptist Convention for ordaining three women as pastors. And over the just recent months, in fact, it's been about a year, maybe approaching 2 years now, a lady that was well known within Southern Baptist circles, Beth Moore. Beth Moore was created, if you please, by the Southern Baptist Convention Publishing Department. Beth Moore probably, and I'm going to be a little brazen, Beth Moore probably never wrote a book in her life, but multitudes of books had her name on it because ghost writers wrote them for the convention to be able to publish them because of the numbers, nickels, and noses that it would produce. Beth Moore, just recently within the convention, had rattled sabers and had gotten a lot of anger generated and divisiveness in that respect because with Beth Moore, there was the mindset that I'd have the same authority as a pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, she's now an ordained Anglican church pastor, where she recently, and let me just say this very clearly, recently Beth Moore just preached at a conference called the Gay Affirming Conference and a gay affirming, quote, Christian university. Beth Moore teaches that calling homosexuality a sin is exceeding the Scripture. Now, I set the stage with that because those are the two prima facie examples today of what's taking place in our churches across denominational lines with the ordination of women as deacons and as pastors. And ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today, I mentioned it in the brief pre-monologue earlier, Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is with me today. We're going to be talking about this. Dr. Phelps, thank you for taking time to join me on this broadcast today. Let me just ask you before we take our first caller, let me just ask you a simple, succinct question. Does the Bible authorize the ordination of women deacons or women pastors?
I don't know of any specific scripture passage that tells us that we should do so.
And so if there's silence in the scripture about that, should we then say, well, God didn't say no, and so we ought to do it?
I think we should follow the scriptures in everything if we want to be obedient to the Lord.
Absolutely. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, hi. My question is, since there is no scripture reference for women being pastors or deacons, what would be the thought on women that are going into prisons, into women's prisons, that are teaching other women that are lost or, you know, going in to share the gospel or just going in and having Bible studies? Is that something that is also frowned upon?
No, ma'am, absolutely not. In fact, let me just succinctly answer your question this way, and then Dr. Phelps can comment also. There's not anything in the scripture that says that a woman cannot be. We're charged with the responsibility, and in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find what we call the Great Commission text. The Great Commission, the Lord Jesus Christ has charged us with the responsibility to go into the highways and the hedges, to go into the fields, and to go into our community and around us, and then extending it to around the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost, dark, and dying society. And again, you find in the scripture that women serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You find in the scripture that women were also ministering to other women. You find in the scripture where the scripture charges the women to teach younger women to love their husbands and to how to carry out household responsibilities. A woman can be a Sunday school teacher. A woman can be a minister of the gospel in that she is sharing the truth of the Word of God in classroom settings with other women. The major, major thing, and we'll talk about it in more detail, the major thing is there is the restriction of a woman standing in the pulpit as a pastor and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, God ordained it that way. I didn't. God set up the standard that way. I didn't. God set the standard that way, not a denomination, but based on the scripture. Pastor, Dr. Phelps, tell us your thoughts on the question the lady has asked.
One of the things that I've learned from scriptures and from experience during the years is that women, women have the wonderful opportunity to serve in many ways. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would have done as a young person growing up without the ministry of my mother. My mother was involved with Children's Evangelism, VBS. And many other things. And as far as I was concerned, she was a good representative of a believer, a believing Christian. Mm-hmm. So what we had many times, the programs at Christmas time, and she would be in charge teaching the children how to do the play regarding Christmas and the Christmas message. I'm so thankful also for a sister-in-law. My wife's sister was involved with child evangelism during the summertime, and in her church, she was a teacher of Sunday school for ladies and leading in fellowships of the ladies that they had, child evangelism and vacation Bible school. So we're so thankful that the Bible tells us much about the role of women in the church. And without women, we would certainly be hindered in the evangelization of the world.
Amen. Absolutely right. Here's the
Second question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So my second question is, of course, I'm definitely not saying that, you know, women should or should not, because I know it's a very controversial topic. I'm not a woman pastor. Neither do I have a desire to be. I'm not a woman deaconess. I don't know where the term deaconess even came from. Never heard of it, but I have heard that there are deaconesses. So women that are teaching but not in a pastoral role from pulpits, you know, say a woman brings a message on a Sunday morning to a congregation that has both men and women in that congregation. She's not a pastor. She's just an evangelist or a minister that is teaching and preaching. Is that also something that is frowned upon?
That is not just frowned upon, it is forbidden based on the scripture. It is the when we have to ask, what are the qualifications for a pastor? And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find the pronoun he and him over and over. That pastor must be the husband of one wife. He must be able to rule his own household properly. So the qualifications, if we look at it just very succinctly, for the answering of your question, if it is for a pastor's role, and then in the scripture it also, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12, says the husband, the wife should be in submission to her husband and not teach. And when it's in that text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it is talking about that teaching, i.e. from the pulpit, it is usurping authority over the man, which God forbids. Keep in mind, God ordained that the man to be the head of the home. He's to be the head of the church. He's to be the head of civil government. That is the way God ordained it for the headship responsibility in those three categories, home, the church, and in government. But the key to it is, if it is, many people confuse it. If you're standing in, a, quote, pulpit or at a pulpit, you can stand at a lecturer's podium and teach. But if it is on a, I call it, for lack of a better term, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when you have the congregation gathered, when it's a mixed congregation, no, the woman, the Christian lady, cannot teach or preach in that category, in that fashion. Now, if a woman is in Christian education, a woman is in the realm of teaching children in ministry or leading the singing, etc., there's nothing. Here's the bottom line. There is a difference between the responsibility and being the witness and teaching. There's a difference in that and the office. We have two offices in the New Testament church according to the scripture. Number one is the office of pastor. Number two, the office of deacon. We have two ordinances, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of baptism. And when you look at it on the basis of that category that is the specified office of pastor, a dear Christian lady cannot occupy the position as pastor of a church or usurping the role of usurping authority over the man by teaching from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, i.e. at a time of ministry service. Dr. Phelps, you have any comments?
I think you've said it well regarding that.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for your
thank
call.
You. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very controversial subject today. I realize that. But the scripture is succinct. The scripture is very, very clear. And when we talk about the role of women in the church, we need to recognize that. Well, let me just go back to this. Dr. Adrian Rogers, many, many years, he's with the Lord now. But Dr. Adrian Rogers, many, many years ago, made the statement that I think is so succinct and apropos. Dr. Rogers said, and I quote, "God has placed the woman on a pedestal for her protection," end quote. And I think that is overlooked today. God has ordained the man to basically be the one that's the breadwinner. The man is basically the one that's to be the head of the home, basically responsible for the leadership and the rule of our nation and government. But ladies and gentlemen, we must lay aside what I call cultural arguments or opinions. The foremost answer to the question of women preachers must be resolved based on what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say? The analysis of the scripture should not be based on men versus women or women versus men. We need to get that out of the way. There are some well-meaning women who believe that they should serve as ordained pastors. There's some well-meaning men that believe that women should not serve as pastors. So I want us to analyze it today. Number one, the argument for women pastors. The argument for women pastors. Now, if you have a nickel a dime's worth of conversation, putting in your 2 cents worth, as you some call it, do that. The telephone is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about the subject today, the role of women in ministry, or we could say the role of women in the church, as Dr. Carwell Ryrie called it in his book back in 19, I believe it was first published in 1958, based on the ISBN in the book that we have in our bookstore on that subject. But ladies and gentlemen, the argument for women pastors, Rick Warren, I'm going to use him as the example. He's the most recent controversial nationally known figure. Rick Warren said in an interview that he's just discovered, I'm going to quote, he said, "I've just discovered what the Bible says, and I was wrong." Now he says the Bible teaches that a woman can be a pastor. And he uses three biblical texts. He, speaking of Rick Warren, uses three biblical records to validate his position. That's the newfound position. He said, and I listened to his interview. He said, "I have read over 300 books trying to search for where I was wrong." And he said, "I find There's not one place in anything anybody's written that says that a woman cannot be a pastor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's reading the wrong books, apparently. He's not in the right book. Yeah, I think that it's time, Dr. Phelps is just pointing to the Bible. I think it's time we get out of the books and get into the Bible, the book of books. I think it's time we stop depending on what someone says with a bias about the Bible and see what the Bible says and let the Bible do the express teaching of what God's Word wants us to understand. But the first thing is, Rick Warren uses, is Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 is the text that he uses to affirm his position that women can be pastors. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 is talking about the Great Commission. I'm going to read those verses, then I'm going to ask Dr. Phelps to express some thoughts about it. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. I'm going to read them if I can get it here in a moment. Verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's what the Scripture says. And ladies and gentlemen, that is in the Great Commission, and verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto the mountain where Jesus appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore. Who's he speaking to, Dr. Phelps?
He was speaking to the disciples, and they're all men.
All men. It wasn't a group of ladies and men. And Rick Warren says, though, listen carefully, this is Rick Warren, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. Rick Warren said that that Great Commission, he didn't call it the Great Commission, which we have come to know it as the Great Commission, but that text, he says, gives the charge for men, women, boys, and girls to go and tell others about Jesus, and that is correct in a broad sense. But in the context, he's speaking to his 11 disciples, clearly, specifically, where he told them after the resurrection, I'll meet you in Galilee. He meets them at Galilee. He charges them with the responsibility then of what they're to do with the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the charge of responsibility. But ladies and gentlemen, Rick Warren says that everybody, he says this verifies that everybody gets to preach. Now, I don't know how he makes a fiat statement that everybody gets to preach. There's nothing in that text about preaching. That is, the text is simply confined to the witnessing and telling others about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the second text that he uses is Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Dr. Phelps, read those two verses for us quickly. We're about to take our news break, but read those verses, and we'll at least start on this portion of the thought. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18.
And it came to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
Dr. Phelps, very quickly, I'm going to just succinctly state this. When you look at that then in verse 19 and following, in that same unit of thought, and I will show wonders in heaven and heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. He is quoting Joel 2:28. And if we're going to say that that includes then the charge for women to preach, then what we're doing is saying that it is after, and you look at Joel 2:28, Joel 28 comes after verse 24, 25, 26, and it is talking about in that great day, after the days of the tribulation, what God is going to do in the day of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.